The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
We're ready. We're raring to go. It's at the start of the season, or part of the season, I should say, where every coach hates it, don't they?
What
two games,
about?
Three games in 8 days. Coaches don't like it. I had a chat with Tony Smith the other night. He started laughing. It's not my part of the season that I love.
It's never going to change, though. It's been around as long as rugby league has playing at holiday times. It's just one of those things. Just get on with it.
Get on with it. What are you whinging at? You ain't paid a load of money.
Exactly.
Full-time pros.
There's no excuse these days, have they?
No.
Or have they?
Listen, they're probably finding an excuse. There's the amateurs, they just get on with it.
They do, week in, week out.
We get on with it, we don't complain. We're doing too many podcasts.
Some of our listeners might do, though.
Some of our listeners might do, but we don't complain about it. We do matches, do interviews, and then we try to bring it all together and sound professional as always on lovely.com. And thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the studios as well. Might be a professional setup here, but we're not professional. Definitely
speak
not.
Speak for yourself.
Plenty to talk about over this final hooter. I'm going to hear from Tony Smith and Dennis Betts. It was the showdown, wasn't it, between Widnes and Wigan. Dennis Betts doing the job for the Vikings. We'll hear from Tony Smith after the big win against the Catalans. We've got our day out of the Challenge Cup. Our particular game where we went to was Lee versus Workington. But you doubled, don't you? You went to Pilks and Halifax as well.
I was, yeah. It was a good experience, that, actually. You know, and I felt really sorry for Pilkington Rex because they did try so hard in that game and really did deserve a couple of tries for their efforts, but just found Halifax a little bit too hot to handle in the second half.
And wearing the bling when I caught up with him. I'm going to catch up with Chris Sandow. He's got a diamond earring in his ear, by the way.
Really?
He never bought that in from H. Samuel or the market stall.
Other places are available.
Yeah, can't promote anywhere. Forgot about that. Slap my wrist. Yeah, he had the bling on when I spoke to him.
Okay, that's fair enough.
But before we do all that, the big story was about the Challenge Cup. It reached round four.
Yep.
Right, okay. Is that where we are up
that's
to?
That's where we're up to, yeah. Right, it's round five next.
See, the road's that long now for getting all the rounds and getting lost on the way. And the big story was, who was going to make it into the stages where the Super League clubs come in, i.e. the bottom four of last season's Super League division coming into the round in round five. We were hoping there was going to be one or two upsets with the amateurs that were left playing the pros. That wasn't the case, was it? But there was one guaranteed representative from the amateur game going into the fifth round of the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, that's right, Adrian.
And then flying the flag is Loch Lane. We've got Martin Rouse on the phone. Martin, welcome to the Final Hooter. It's live radio, folks. You've lost him. Martin Rouse, are you there? Hello, Martin.
Hello.
Ah, yes, it's live. We got there in the end, Parky.
There's too many buttons too many on this buttons. Here thing
see,
in front of
me,
us.
We mentioned the professional equipment in front of us, and we haven't got a clue how to work it. Not a doubt. Anyway, I don't know if you heard us while you're waiting, Martin. We were talking about the Challenge Cup rounds gone by, i.e. round four, and we were hoping there might be one or two upsets from the amateur clubs to defeat the pros. Wasn't to be in that particular weekend, but there was always going to be one representative flying the flag for the amateur game. It's either going to be Feversham Lions or Loch Lane, and thankfully for you guys, you came up trumps.
Yeah, it was a really good day, a good game. It was tough. It was always going to be a tough game, and it was fortunate that we come away with the spoils.
A big crowd there, wasn't there as well?
Yeah, 1,800, I believe, and because it's obviously local rivalry, and it's a hotbed for rugby league down there in Castleford and over in Featherston, the lovely amateur rugby league as well. So. You know, we're always built to be a good encounter. You couldn't have dreamed for a better draw for both clubs, really.
And then, obviously, with that in mind, it's a good payout for you guys as well.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about in the amateur game, to try and generate funds. It's a hard task for all committees throughout the country to raise funds to put on the buses, the kits, and everything else that goes with the amateur game. And it's very difficult sometimes to get sponsorship. So if you can be successful in Cup and get a little run together, the money does come in handy.
Now, after a result like that, we know the amateur players like to have a party and celebrate. Was that the case at Loch Lane Club on Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody enjoys to win. I mean, even in the professional game, I know it's a little bit different now to what it was when I played, but you know, you like to let your hair down and enjoy and savour the moment and enjoy your success. And we're no different. We did have a good drink. I think there have been a few sore bodies and a few sore heads as well on Sunday morning. Once the weekend's over, and we met yesterday evening to listen and watch the draw and see what we're going to get. And and then afterwards it was straight business as usual out on the training paddock, and you know, just get on with what we've got to do, because you can't be too aloof about it and think that you're going to be, you know, be all and end all. We've still got another 21 rounds of rugby to play, the National Conference League, and that's more important to us, really.
You mentioned the draw. You got Halifax away, so that's a good challenge for you guys, bearing in mind they thrashed Pilkington's in the last round.
Yeah, it's always going to be a tough draw the next round. It's all down to luck of the draw. It's either on the financial side, where you want to get a club which is going to generate the most money for the amateur club, or you want to sort of get a lower seeded championship club that, you know, you might have an upset, or you at least you can go close to getting to them. It's going to be a tough ask. It's going to be a tough game, you know. So we'll just have to sort of train and condition ourselves and prepare for that encounter.
Should be a good day out for you guys as well, won't it?
Well, it will be. I mean, we've played in the Preston rounds before, where, you know, you get to the third round, the fourth round in previous years. Been quite successful, actually, the club of Loch Lane in previous, you know, I think the 15, I think they've got the most times of playing as professional clubs. And we've played Halifax, I think this will be maybe the third or the fourth time we've been drawn against Halifax in the Challenge Cup. Last time we played them, the Chiefs, the thrashers, I think, at 60 odd points to 12 or something like that, and they gave us a good lesson in how to play rugby league at a fast pace. But that was when we were in the old in the second division of the National Conference League, and this time we're in the Premier League. We've got a decent squad, albeit it's not a massive squad. It's certainly capable, and hopefully we can make a good account of ourselves and see where we go.
Now, we've had a sneaky look at some of the players that are involved in Loch Lane. We noticed that there's a young lad in there by the name of Daniel Ralphs, and we looked at your surname, and we're putting two and two together. There's no way, is he related, or is he his son, or you, or something?
Yeah, he's my son.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's my son.
And how is Daniel as a player, then?
He's a good player. Obviously, being his dad, I come down pretty hard on him, and I'm probably his biggest critic. I probably don't praise him as much as what sometimes he should do, but he's a key member of our squad. He's a good player. He looks after himself. He can read the game quite well. His game management's quite good. He's got a good kicking game, and he's had experience with Barley. He's toured with Barley quite a few times. He had 12 months over in Australia. And he's not a bad little player.
Your club has got a rich history of providing players to the pro game. Looking at the current squad, are you looking at anyone thinking, you know what, they could probably go on and do a job in the higher league?
It's funny, because we've got a few ex-professionals, so to speak, and when you say ex-professionals, they've been signed on the scholarships, and some have been lucky enough to get a contract and then they've been released, and they've come back to us, so we've got some players that have probably been signed on early, not given the opportunities that probably they could have had with the numbers that the professional clubs have had. And they've come back to us, and they're probably better players for that. They've come back, they've matured. They're not the same players that they are now at 22 and 23 as what they were when they were 17 and 18 years of age. And I believe there is players in our squad that could play in the Championship. I've always said that they're more than capable of doing that. And it's whether they want to or not, you know, whether they want to push themselves, being ambitious, or the financial side of it. Some have got jobs that probably can't commit to the training programs and the schedules that the professional game has. But there are players within our squad that I think that could quite easily enter into a championship team.
Well, Dave Parkinson has been looking at some of the players that have gone on to play at the higher level. And Dave, run through the list because it's quite impressive.
It is a very impressive list, actually. We've got Joe Westerman, Liam Watts, Gareth Ellis, Greg Eden, Ben Crooks, and then a little bit earlier on, Mark Aston, Chris Bibb, who was a Great Britain tourist, Paul Broadbent, Paul Anderson, and Ryan Boyle in the current Castleford squad.
Certainly a hotbed, isn't it? Was you around within the club when them guys were pulling on the Lock Lane colours, Martin?
Ben Crooks was around. I mean, when he signed at Hull back then, I've been there at the club now, I think, five seasons, maybe six seasons, involved at Lock Lane. So, I mean, some pretty big names there as well.
There is, isn't it? Quite impressive.
Yeah, and there's there's a list of players that goes on that are playing in the Championship and also that have signed and probably are out of the game. But, you know, Lee Crooks comes down to us, is a regular down at Lock Lane watching, and you know, he adds on quite a lot of information to me, and you know, he's very useful with Lee. And you know, the guy, Chris Bibb, I still bump into him, he comes down and watch, and you know, now and again they do come down and watch and give advice and one thing and another. But it's always been a hotbed, Lock Lane, and it's one of the amateur clubs within Castleford. It's the Cass Panthers, but it's quite high seeded for the community clubs. It'd be nice if Castleford, if Cass Tigers would get a bit more involved with us, besides just coming along and taking us young players that are doing quite well. It'd be nice to get a little bit more out of Cass Tigers, but you don't see me. So it's all one-way traffic with a professional game, unfortunately.
It's good to see some of the ex-pros coming down, though, and putting a bit back to the amateur game, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the club is a big club, and it's got the facilities down there to be used by the community. And you get in the National Conference League, it's very competitive, and there's some really strong teams, as you probably know, even in Cumbria, in Lancashire, over there in Hull, and obviously in Yorkshire. And it's a good quality of rugby. You think about it, it's a couple of quid to come and watch a top amateur game, and you're probably going to get more out of that game than you would probably watching a championship game.
Now, I was going to say, you mentioned earlier on the bigger picture for yourselves is your form in the National Conference League. Now, Lee Mann has dominated it last year. How do you feel you guys are going to go this season?
Well, it's a tough competition. And first and foremost, anybody who comes into the beginning of the season is staying in the division. Stay in that division, and after that, it's getting into the top six, into the playoffs, and then hopefully progressing into the grand final stages. But that's our focus. Our focus is to stay in the division. And you know, if you go into this competition thinking that you're going to win it, if you come into the competition thinking you're going to be a top six without being too over ambitious, you might just get a few shocks. I thought Lee Miners were absolutely outstanding last year for what they achieved, and the amount of games they played and the quality they played was exceptional, and I thought they were a real good side.
Without a doubt. But before that as well, you've got the big day out in Halifax to look forward to. What's the players' reaction been to this draw?
It was a strange one, really, because, you know, I can remember when we watched the draw against Fev Lions and everybody was up and cheering and getting there and sort of thinking, well, great, it's a local club, it's going to be a massive game, that. And when you draw, obviously, the next round and we've got the Halifax, it wasn't as if everybody's got up and started dancing around thinking, yippee. And although they'll go out there and they'll want to do the best, I don't know, it was a strange one, really. We've played Halifax, like I say, we played them in 2011, and in previous years they've played Halifax. It'd be nice to get a different club and try something different, and it'd be nice to get a home draw. And if it had been a big club, we'd played at the Big Fella Stadium, we could have got them down there, and I'm sure Mark Campbell would have sorted something out for us. But it is what it is. The draw is the draw, and you can't do anything about it. We're going to go over there and give it our best shot, and they will do, and the score will look after itself, and that's the best we can do. And you can only do your best, and if it's not good enough, at least you give 100%.
it's going to be a great occasion for you anyway. Good luck with that game against the mighty Halifax. But well done to getting that to that stage. I mean, it's a great feat already for me.
It is. I mean, not many clubs can do that. And, you know, you're going through your rounds. We played all our early rounds away from home. The win at Oxford were absolutely outstanding. That was, to me, one of the best, displays that we've played for quite some time. It was really, really good. And to turn over a championship club away from home when the odds are stacked against you, it just shows you what, you know, if you believe you can do it and you try and you work hard, you know, anything can happen in rugby league.
Could be your day, you never know. But anyway, good luck with that with Martin, and thank you very much for joining us on the Final Hooter.
Cheers, mate. And if we win Challenge Cup, you can buy me a pint.
I'll think about it. I've got a cold.
What are you expecting? Tea and sympathy?
Got a cold, not happy.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Thank you very much to Martin Rouse of Loch Lane joining us on the Final Hooter. Park, I've got a cold. It might be getting into the early beginnings of summer rugby league, but I've got a cold.
That's why. That's because it's all changing. It's getting warmer.
I mean, I was at the DW in the Halliwell Jones last week. I was freezing. I had three coats on.
Don't be so soft.
I had three coats. I kid you not, I had three coats on.
I wondered why there was a little bit less room in press box.
No, that's just all the pies I had. I had a pie belly by half time.
Anyway, more of that later, eh?
Yeah.
Shall we crack on with the...
You better add, aren't we? You talked about Loch Lane's big win against Feversham Lions. Is Jamie Rooney the coach at Feversham Lions?
He is, that's right, yeah, yeah. And whoever got through that, it was going to be a big occasion for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, just under 2,000 there, impressive, that.
Very much so, yeah. And just to sum up what else happened in that fourth round, it was Featherstone Lions 16, Loch Lane 30, as you've heard. Pilkington Rex 0, Halifax 78, as you also heard. Batley 37, Whitehaven 36. Mm. Sheffield Eagles 32, Swinton Lions 28. Toulouse 62, Gloucestershire Orgulls 28. Oldham 40, Kells 6, London Broncos 26, Featherstone Rovers 48, Rochdale Hornets 48, Siddle 20, real big one that one of a game, and Hunslet 48, Doncaster 6, York 20, Keighley 12, Dewsbury 31, Bradford Bulls 30, an amazing result there for Dewsbury, and well done to Glenn Morrison and his side.
Yeah, that's probably the result of the round for me.
And then finally, our game of the round on loverugbyleague.com, Lee Centurion 68, Workington Town 14.
Yeah, big game that, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And to be honest, it was all over after about 21 minutes, in fairness. Lee had plenty of the ball in that opening 20 minutes. They actually scored 6 tries during that period as well. And Corey Patterson, who Lee signed from Salford last season, led the team out for the first time. Wow. He was skipper on the night, scored 4 tries as well. So it was a big night for Corey and a big night for Lee.
Yeah, big night for Lee. Long journey home on the coach for Workington Town, it's got to be said. But let's hear from both coaches, Neil Jukes and Phil Vivas.
The start of both halves was very good. I think we dropped 108-16 in our obviously first 16 sets, and I think we had 7 sets. I think we'd only made 1 tackle, to be fair, but we were ruthless on what we spoke about. But I thought for probably the last 15-20 minutes of the first half, we got away from what we tried to do. We just got to a little bit ad lib and ultimately give probably a couple of soft penalties in there as well. So we just wanted to get back to where we started in the second half, and we did exactly the same. We dropped our first set again in the second half, but then went on again and completed some real good sets together with a bit of intent in what we were trying to do. Again, we dropped a couple, and I thought, here we go again. But no, we dropped straight back on it, and we finished the game really strong again. So certainly with the ball in hand, we did everything what we'd spoke about. And defensively, a few of the things we were a little bit narrow to, certainly as staff, and probably as players felt it in the first half. We fixed them up as well. And again, whilst we're not happy, probably conceding 3 tries, 2 tries off kicks, we probably just need to defend them a little bit better. But across the board, we showed a good attitude to defend.
That forward effort
as well. I mean, was that the plan to hit him through the middle and keep coming back on the inside?
Yeah, they're obviously a big side, aren't they? So we just wanted to make sure we could take as much energy as we could out of them. But that's the game. That doesn't matter whether we're playing Workington or whether we're playing anybody. We've got to get through our sets, but get through our sets with a little bit of intent in what we're trying to do. And like I say, I think we did that. Obviously, one of our middles has scored 4 tries there, but it came on the back of playing quick. Like I say, working to a structure that we spoke about.
You also have Ben Reynolds back in again, and it's a rarity being able to name the same app pairing really for you this season,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's the first time this year, isn't it? We've doubled it up. But yeah, it's been good. It's been obviously notified that we've been struggling with injuries. I think we had 8 or 9 out at one stage. Them 9's probably a good chance of being within our starting 17. And on Thursday we had, I think, 25 players out there. So we've got Greg Worthington, who will be about 10 days. Greg McNally, who will be obviously a little bit longer, but hopefully Johnny's fine. He came off, I was a bit worried there, but he's moving about a little bit better. So yeah, we'll dust ourselves down and get ready for the short tournament now for Thursday.
I thought we were like rabbits in the headlights in the first 20 minutes, but then again we only had the ball for 6 tackles in that first 20 minutes, so we're chasing our tails there, and we just didn't get in control of any of the sets defensively in that first 20 minutes. So disappointed with that. It's sort of big energy sapper, you know, when you don't have the ball for that period of time. And but we turned a corner, we come back at him, we scored a couple of tries, and you know, as I said to him at half time, I thought it was a game of 2 quarters in that first half. I thought we probably dominated that second quarter, and they dominated the first quarter, and we just needed to step up and go hard out again at the start of the second half, which we got in a set for set basis. And then there is some soft tries thrown in there, you know, there's the weight of possession can kill you, but defensively, if you're dropping off tackles, you know, if you're in a position to make a tackle, then you've got to make the tackle, and that's an individual thing. Some of that's around about technique and stuff like that, but they're a good outfit, you know, they're full time. They've got some ex Super League players and ex NRL players in their side, so strong outfit. And my guy stuck in there, and the score blew out in the end, and so be it, but they're well worthy of their win. You know, I thought that there was times that we created problems for the opposition, you know, and we bombed a try in the corner there late on with Chris Murphy dropping it at the line wide open. But as I said to you before, you know, they're a quality effort. You know, they train full time, I still think there's a lot of soft tries thrown in there against us. So that's a worry for me, but we just need to remain positive and stick tight together and work hard, and we'll come out the other side.
Yeah, well, what can you take from today into that big derby game against Whitehaven on Good Friday? If anything?
Not to have 60 points scored against you. Just to be competitive, you know, just to get into a grind of a match first before you start doing anything. And, you know, at the end of the day, you just want an even share of the ball. And at this moment in time, we didn't receive an even share in that first 20 minutes, and it comes back and bites you back into the game, you know.
And how confident are you that you can get one over your old rivals on Friday?
They've had a great game today up there at Batley, and lost by a point up there in the cup. So they're obviously working very hard for each other, and we'll regroup, as I said. And a derby's a derby, and a completely different ball game to the one here today than what will obviously pan out on Good Friday. So looking to a good game.
Might be a good game against Whitehaven, but sadly for them, it wasn't a good game against the mighty Centurions.
No, they managed to pull a couple of tries back and, you know, did pretty well. Played a bit of adventurous rugby at the back end of the first half to come up with 2 tries, and then scored possibly the try of the game after about 45, 46 minutes into the second half. You know, they did play some enterprising stuff, and unlike a lot of teams that tend to go up against Lee, they didn't try and roughhouse it either, you know. So they deserve a lot of credit for the way that they played Workington, despite being on the end of a whirlwind start from the Centurions. If you look at the rest of the game, in the other 59 minutes, they only conceded 36 points. So 36-14 doesn't sound as bad as 68-14. Chris Stott was asking the questions, and what did you think of one of them?
Yeah, when he asked him, is there any positives to take in? And quick as a flash, Phil went, not to concede 60, I like that.
Yeah, he's good. It's always good, like, if you can get your defence set.
He's on the boil, man. He's there. He's boom, have it.
still one of the most experienced coaches around, isn't he, Phil Vivas? Been around for several years now.
Not as experienced as John Kerr.
Not quite.
And also his name check Batley. He's still doing the job.
He is, yeah. It's a shame that he's not going to be there next season, isn't it? He's off to Wakefield to become head of rugby, isn't he, next season?
What's going to happen at Batley?
They'll be okay. They're always okay at Batley.
Not a format of this new, the way the Cup's done, though. I'm not a fan of it.
We say this every year, don't we?
I'm not a fan of it.
Since they brought it out. And
I thought I'd give them a year or two to see how it pans out, but not a fan of it.
To be fair as well, I mean, we've also heard from Martin Rouse, and you asked him about a big payday. Do you realise that amateur clubs don't really get a big payday out of it? Compared with how the professionals get paid, they get peanuts.
Right, we are up to the fifth round draw. A lot of the Super League clubs are not in yet. It's just the bottom four of last season's Super League. So Widnes were one of the teams, Wakefield, Hokingston Rovers and Salford all went into the hat to be pulled out by Sam Tompkins. It should have been, I did see it somewhere, at the football.
Joey Barton,
but he had other commitments to Burnley. So Chris Hill stepped in alongside Super Sam. And this is how the draw panned out. It's Wakefield versus Sheffield, Hokingston Rovers versus Oldham. To lose, their reward is a home tie against Leeds Centurions. Rochdale Hornets' reward is a home tie against top of the table, Widnes Vikings. See what I did? Huntsford Hawks versus Salford. We've already mentioned it. Halifax versus Lock Lane. Batley Bulldogs against Featherstone Rovers. And Dewsbury versus York. That's going to be a good match. Dewsbury versus York.
Could be, yeah. But I think the tie of the round for me is that Batley against Featherstone.
Yes.
I think that could be an awesome game. But, you know, if I was a TV company and I'm looking at...
One's for the telly, isn't it? Yeah,
I'm looking at picking a game for that. I think I'd go with Wakefield-Sheffield because, to be honest, Sheffield have gone full-time. Wakefield struggling, having changed coach.
If I was Steve or Eddie or Terry O'Connor or whoever may be going out there, I would say, listen, let's get over to Toulouse.
Really?
For a weekend in France, why not? Big game, sell it. It's a big game. Full time to lose against full time Lee.
I mean, to be fair, you know, that's a big game as well.
It's sunny, it's warm. Oh, we didn't mention that. It's going to be a good match.
To be fair, I would do Wakefield, Sheffield, definitely.
Don't you fancy a day out at Batley?
I said the Batley and Featherstone game. I mean, I would certainly pick Batley and Featherstone out of that lineup for a game that I'd like to see.
Oh, would they go Rochdale versus Widnes?
Nah. Could it be a chance of an upset, couldn't there?
No.
Yes.
No.
Possibly, yeah.
No.
I think we've done that one.
Yeah. Repeat ourselves, aren't we? While we digest that and draw, let's talk about Super League, shall we?
Yeah, well, we've had two rounds of Super League, haven't we, since our last show. So let me take you through the results, shall we? In round five, it was Huddersfield 38, Hull Kingston Rovers 6, Castleford Tigers 16, Salford 32, St Helens 44, Wakefield 4, Wigan 28, Leeds 6, Widnes 46, Hull 6, and finally Catalans Dragons 20, Warrington Wolves 30. And, well, some big results in that particular round, I think. In particular, St Helens putting the 40 on Wakefield.
Yeah, not a good time for Wakefield, is it? They may have changed coaches, but sadly the results are the same. But they are slightly getting closer, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I think they lost by 50 points there at St Helens last year. Yeah. So, yeah, it's gotten a little bit better.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, special mention to Widnes. I know we're going to talk a little bit more about them and, you know, we've got Dennis to come. But that 46-6 victory against Hull saw them play some real free-flowing stuff, didn't it? And lots of tries being shared out between wingers.
Yeah, and Hull FC weren't happy about it, weren't they? Because Lee Radford, the coach, admitted to the press in the press conference that the players kicked him out the dressing room and had the players meet him.
And to be fair, former Lock Lane amateur Gareth Ellis, he said that he wasn't shut out, he just wasn't there at the time when they decided to have the inquest into the game.
Lee said something else. Lee said he'd been kicked out.
I know he did, didn't he?
He did.
But even so, that type of stuff shouldn't be happening, should it?
No, not at all.
You know, I think Dennis Betts was a bit surprised when he heard that that had potentially happened as well. But no, for me, a coach has always got to take control, otherwise where's his strength in there?
A big win for Warrington, by the way, going to Catalan, scoring 30. OK, conceded 20, but they got the job done.
Didn't they score 12 points in the last 5 minutes as well?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a stupendous ending, wasn't it, to the game as far as Warrington are concerned. But that's just what they can do this year. They can put points on, they can put them on in large numbers, and they can put them on the board quickly.
Yeah, let's hear some reaction from that game through Tony Smith off the WarringtonWolves.com website. Looking very dapper in his Warrington jumper, and he's lost a beard as well.
I know you like that beard.
I did like it, but he never...
He gets itchy after a bit, though, sporting a beard. I know from personal experience, though.
Leave that to you, eh?
Yeah, good. It was another one where we showed a lot of character. We probably didn't play as well as we can or we would like. But, you know, to come from behind again, we felt that we could, as long as we controlled the ball a little better, where... And, you know, we spoke at half-time. We felt that we could get back into the lead. It took longer than we expected. But some of that was down to the errors that we made early in the second half. But character of the players at the moment is really shining through. Even when we're behind, we're able to compose ourselves and come through with some good play to finish off the game.
Not too difficult for you to have less choice in the bench after the injury?
Yeah, it's bad news for Mitchell. He's broken his tibia bone in his leg. We've had two big injuries in 2 weeks, and we're feeling for Mitch. Mitch has gone to hospital to have his leg set. So, yes, it was disappointing. But no, we're not as bothered about that. Our fitness is very good. Yeah. Our fitness as a team is very good.
In defence, you quickly...
Very good.
Is your fitness?
Yes.
During 80 minutes?
Yes. And it got stronger and stronger as it went on, I felt. Our fitness really shone through today, and, you know, I felt defensively they were working very hard.
This match here?
Yes. Yes, so, you know, our defence was the key to that. But Catalans throw a lot at you. They've got a lot of very good players, and, you know, they're a very, very big team, a lot of big players. So we knew we would have to defend well here, but tough game and, you know, hard place to come to and get 2 points. So at one stage, I think we're... we would have been pleased to take a draw, but in the end we come up with the win, so very pleasing.
Oh, yeah, you jumped in. We'll talk about what we're having for tea. Sorry, Tony, just interrupting because that's what French journalists were doing to him.
That was good, that. He kept going at the point, though, didn't he?
He did, he wouldn't give up. I'm amazed Tony could understand what he was saying. And it was a big win for them against Catalans, and they backed it up, with a win against Castleford Tigers as well, didn't they?
They certainly did, yeah. These are the results from Super League Round 6. It finished Huddersfield 26, Catalans 46, Hull Kingston Rovers 44, Salford 30, Hull 22, Wakefield 4, Leeds 30, St Helens 18. The result Adrian mentioned there, Warrington 56, Castleford Tigers 12. And the game of the round, maybe the game of the season so far, Wigan 12, Widnes 18.
Another big win for Widnes Vikings. What's going on?
Massive win. But if I hear somebody say to me that they're like Leicester City...
Oh, I swear I'm going to swing for them.
Definitely. They're like the Exeter Chiefs of the... have the Super League.
What do Exeter Chiefs play?
Well, they play Dominoes. In the Premier League Rugby Union. He's going puce here.
Don't make me swear, man. Thank you for swearing. I'm some other obscure teams from an obscure sport. How about the Deeside Tigers from ice hockey?
Oh, right.
I don't know.
You're just making them up.
I'm just making them up.
You're just doing random teams.
Yeah. All right. What about the Wigan Chessmate players? There you go.
Silence.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've stumped me there. Go on. This is Chris Sando speaking after Warrington's impressive victory over Castleford.
Chris Sando, overall, boys, must be happy with that performance.
Yeah. You know, we've practiced all week, you know. Cass is a great team, you know. They turned up tonight, you know, but I'm advantage, you know. The crowd got behind us and the boys dug really deep tonight and showed tonight on the field. Talked about it all week and, you know, we wanted a good start against Cash, you know, because they got that dangerous players all over the park, you know. But, you know, they had a few players missing, but like I said, the coach would have picked the strong 17 to come and play us tonight, and, you know, but we turned up on our A game tonight and that showed tonight.
When you're so far in front at half-time, is it always difficult to match the intensity in the second half?
Yeah, 100%, you know. Like I said, we've just got to start the game strong and finish strong, you know. That's our mentality here at the Wolves, and, you know, we thrive on stuff like that, you know. And, like I said, you see that there tonight, and all the boys playing together as a team, and, you know, when we play together as a team, we get results like that, you know. But, like I said, Cass will hopefully bounce back next week, and you know, so, yeah.
Without a doubt, yeah. Playing try scorers, you were one of the try scorers. Pretty classy effort from yourself.
Yeah, you know, mate. Lionel's playing with a lot of confidence. You know, this year, you know, it was hard coming last year. But like I said, I'm a different person, different fatigue. You know, than I come last year. You know, so but like I said, I'm enjoying my football. You know, but it goes to show. My teammates doing the hard yards for me, and I play off the back of that. So yeah.
I was going to mention your time here last year. It was difficult to come over back in the last season. We saw little glimpses of you. Is it fair to say we've seen the best of Chris Sandano?
Yeah, you know, and hopefully there's plenty more to come. You know, I'm just fitting in, you know, and doing my job really well. And like I said, the more the forwards do their work, the more me Gidley, and the outside backs get more time with the ball. So yeah.
Next up is Widnes Vikings. You're looking forward for your first taste of a Widnes Warrington derby?
Yeah, for sure. You know, they've been playing really well, you know, and but back at home, you know, the crowd will get behind us again. Turn up in numbers like they did tonight, and hopefully get the 2 points next week. So yeah.
I'm going to rename him, actually.
Go on.
Chris, Sandow.
Very positive, isn't he? Very positive sort of guy.
Listen, we found another team that we can talk about. I've been looking at women's hockey.
What? Why on earth? What would possess you to look at women's hockey?
I've just found one for you. You ready?
Go on.
Leicester.
Not Leicester. Leicester have got a team.
Yeah.
Women's hockey.
Women's hockey. They're in the Premier Division. I wonder the top.
Oh.
And maybe they were bottom last year, but the top.
Stop it.
All right, let's
stop
change.
It. Move
let's
on.
Let's carry on with the rugby league.
Yeah,
Chris Sandow. I like the bling in his ear. I've already mentioned that.
You have, yeah. It's like BBC Two, this.
I might go and buy one.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you'd already got one, actually.
Quite impressed with Chris Sandow. I know it was difficult for him to come in last year. He admitted it. He was a bit bigger than what he expected to be in terms of playing weight. But he's lost all that. And his partnership with Gidley, well, it's a dream for Warrington so far, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think we've touched on it before, haven't we? What Gidley provides in that team is such stability and someone who can be relied upon. And what that does is it frees up Chris Sandow to do what he does best, which is almost play off the cuff. I'm sure he is playing to pattern, but it just looks so much more off the cuff, doesn't it? Because of the amount of time that he's being given by Kurt Gidley. And, you know, Kurt's a wonderful anchor really for that Warrington side, and you know everything's going to run through him, and it's obviously working for him at the moment.
You definitely used the word anchor.
I did.
So that's okay. Then. We don't want Mr. Gidley getting upset with us anyway. And yeah, cast of the Tigers. It's going not really happening for them this year, isn't it?
No. For some reason, they can't seem to string it together. I think they're picking up a few niggling injuries, aren't they, nearly every game, which isn't helping their cause at the moment. But to be fair, didn't they have a slow start last year?
They did.
End up finishing it like a train.
You did. Yeah, that's why I put them fourth in my media prediction. But at the minute, it looks like that might not happen.
What's
but,
this media prediction? Why didn't I get one?
You wasn't at the Super League launch.
Oh, I see.
You got to be in the Super League club, man, to be getting all these invitations.
Listen, as a lead journalist, I've been trying to get in that Super League club for many a season.
Huddersfield, what about them? I mean, I've seen some of the words from Paul Anderson's press conference describing their performance. Abysmal was one of them.
Well, they didn't help themselves. They got themselves in a real arm wrestle with Catalans. They were leading quite handsomely at one point, I think, weren't
Lack
they?
Lack of attitude was another.
And then Joe Wardle gets himself sent off. Catalans step up to the plate and, well, just like Warrington, they can score points quickly, can't they? And certainly put them on. But impressive for Catalans, that victory. And I know at times they've flattered to deceive, haven't they, so far this year?
Won away.
But they have won away. It is a rarity, yeah. I think they've got as many points on the road this season as they did through the entire of last. So, you know, things are getting better.
Bit like Widnes Vikings, they're doing it away and on grass.
Yes, Dennis likes
on
making
grass.
The points.
Anyway, Dennis, against his former club, was rather happy that Widnes claimed their first victory there after 20 years. expect as rugby league games go. What a roller coaster of a ride that was.
It was. But that's what tough games are about. That's what physical games are about. That's what being involved in big matches is. Like I say, it's early in the year. It's a TV game. We've come out the other side with a fantastic win.
Great win, wasn't it? And everyone seemed to enjoy the whole occasion as well.
Yeah, we brought some fantastic support, didn't we? Yeah. Our fans came along and they sung the house down, and I'm pleased for them tonight because, like I said, they've waited a long time for some nice.
Sean Wayne said about Wigan, they're going to have to defend for their lives in this game. At the end, Wigan really did have to defend for their lives.
Oh, well, that's taken a little bit far. Nobody died tonight, so yeah. But it was a great effort and a little bit, like I say, just that backbone that we've put in the team and that strength that we've got in each other. And sometimes that thing you can't put into players, it's got to be there. They like each other, they want to be around each other, they want to work for each other, and we showed a lot of character tonight to be able to defend our line as well as we did.
Certainly was a lot of belief that you could get the job done as well.
Yeah, we came here knowing that it was going to be a tough night. We knew that there was going to be some tough times in this game, but we knew that we had the ability and quality of character to get through it.
Didn't have Lloyd at the start of this game, so how big of an 80 minutes are there in the Hermite?
Oh, it was huge, wasn't it? Well, he played 80 minutes at 9, which is a fantastic effort. But we knew that Wigan came in with 1-9 as well, and they went, and Powell played the 8, so it's not like it's unheard of. And it was a tremendous effort from Aaron.
Didn't get on the scoreboard in the first half, but we certainly had chances.
We did, we threw a try pass and they scored from it. And we just needed some composure, but we knew when we came in at half time, we sat down and there was still a look in their eye that we know that if we could get on the board quickly, we're going to win this.
First win here in 13 years, so it just shows how big of a night it is for Widnes.
Yeah, it's a massive night for the club in the sense that nobody's won here for 2 years. I think more than the fact that we can't control the 13 years. We've been doing this and trying to get this win for a number of years now, and it was a fantastic performance tonight.
In terms of 2016, what kind of a statement does this send out from Widnes?
Well, we've beaten Leeds, we've beaten Wigan, we've beaten Hull, we've beaten some high quality sides. Mm. We've won a couple of games away from home, which is a little bit more than we did last year. So yeah, we've it's not big statements, it's very early in the year, but we believe at the moment, yeah, if we can hold ourselves and stay healthy, then we're not set a ceiling on what we can achieve.
Wow, it'd be interesting to see what they can do, won't it?
I just believe that they're no flash in the pan this year, Widnes. I know I was fairly critical of them at the start of the season. I didn't tip them to finish anywhere near bottom, I'll be honest.
No one
like Gary Schofield
did.
Yeah,
he did.
But but we had a bit of a muddle up on the old stats there, didn't we? You said 20 years and then said 13 years, and which one is it?
Yeah, it was Huddersfield 20 years and away, and then Wigan 13.
Just don't go blaming me when you're looking at the stats.
You're meant to be the stats man.
No, well, right. you made those up.
Well, you got something right. Dennis Spector said he played for 80 minutes. That French journal said Warrington's defence did it for 80 minutes. Well, that's how long we play rugby league for, isn't it?
It is. Thank goodness this podcast didn't last for 80 minutes.